paramedic here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Marquise Munson, hour number four. Thursday edition. Huge game coming up tonight for the Predators. Puck drop at 7 against Vancouver. Obviously, after losing 7 out of 8, a huge game tonight at the Stone against the Canucks, who beat them 5-3 just a few games ago. But they played well in that game. They played better against Winnipeg, so we'll see what happens coming up tonight. Hal Gill going to join us in about 30 minutes from now. Joe Rexroad from The Athletic joining us here at 9 o'clock, normally at 8 o'clock on Thursdays, but we do appreciate you adjusting your schedule for us, Joe. How are you, sir?
I'm good. This works out well. The dad taxi duties are all clear, and I got the dog outside, so we're good.
Let me ask you a college basketball question first. I know you love the product and you love the sport, but we've got Penny Hardaway making national news and James Wiseman making national news for a lot of different reasons. We've got Jerry Stackhouse maybe punching down a little bit at Austin Peay, but still drawing attention to his program, which is a good thing. We had Battle of the Boulevards last night. You got Tennessee winning against a pretty decent team in Washington over the weekend. It, once again, it feels like a very interesting, for whatever the reasons, an incredibly interesting college basketball season, and we're not even out of November yet.
I mean, I scream it every year, Braden. This is a college basketball state. We all need to embrace it. So, yeah, and like you said, I mean, even I wasn't sure about the Vols. I'm still a little leery of their depth and front court, but that was a really good win over a very talented, you know, I think top 25 worthy Washington team on a neutral court. So, you know, I think the Vols and Lady Vols looking up. Like you said, Stackhouse gets a little, you know, gets the blood boiling a little bit last night. Of course, I was at the never miss a Battle of the Boulevard. I don't think I've missed it once since I've been here. I never will as long as I can help it. And that was, you know, I mean, Belmont should be in the NCAA tournament. Really good team. But I was really impressed with Lipscomb last night hanging in that game. And it's just, you know, how rivalries are. I mean, even if one team looks a lot better on paper, a rival often finds a way to make it tight, and they did. So there's a lot to like about that sport. People need to embrace college basketball in Tennessee.
Yeah, they do. I mean, I enjoy it. If you just look around the state, whether it's Memphis, Vandy, UT, Belmont, Austin Peay got some players. Lipscomb is always, you know, battling across the board. I think this state has really done a good job at having really good college basketball teams, whether it's men or women. The big news this week, some of the big news, is Vandy and what they chose to commit, at least for next season, to Coach Derek Mason. And they have put out this sort of release saying things need to change. We're not going to continue to kick the can down the road. We are going to upgrade. We are going to invest in our football program. And Braden and I talked about it. If you are going to do it, then at least give him an opportunity to be that guy. And I guess the question I want to ask you, Rex, is does the clock start over for Derek? And if it does, how many years?
That's a good question. And I don't know, but I don't look at it that way. You know, to me, it's almost like, I mean, I try to put myself in Malcolm Turner's shoes, and, you know, you mentioned the clock. Like, to me, you know, when you're an AD, of course, and you make a coach hire, that's the clock that starts on you, right? Mm-hmm. To a point. I mean, it has with Jerry Stackhouse. Of course, he made the quick move on Bryce Drew. You know, when he brings in a new, if and when he brings in a new football coach, now that's his guy. Now whatever happens with that coach, you know, that's tied to Malcolm Turner. Derek Mason is not. So I guess I kind of look at it like, you know, I think he is supporting Derek Mason, of course, and I still think, and I've heard you guys talk about this, and I agree. I mean, you know, Derek Mason's still got to respond next year, and he's got to, you know, he's got to improve some things. I mean, obviously, this is a very disappointing season, But I also think, you know, if you're Malcolm Turner, if you were thinking about making a coaching change, you know, what can you offer right now? And, you know, what are the chances of that coach having success right now, given the circumstances? I mean, Malcolm Turner, both separate from talking about Derek Mason's job performance, has talked many times about, you know, just the overall lack of support and resources for football relative to the rest of the SEC, I think relative to Power 5 programs. So, you know, to me, this place, you got to dig deeper and see what that looks like. I don't know that it means, okay, now Derek Mason's going to get 4 more years no matter what. You know, I still think, you know, he's going to be evaluated year to year, and if things don't get better, we could see a change in the not too far off future.
Joe Rexroad joining us here from The Athletic. Tennessee at Missouri. I cannot remember a game that has changed more over the course of a season than Tennessee and Missouri. At the start of the year, we viewed this as a almost automatic loss for Tennessee. Now, I think you can make the case the wrong team is favored, that Tennessee should be favored in this one. I know that Missouri has you know, dusted them easily the last 2 years, 50-17, I think, in both of them. But Missouri's struggling right now. I think this game's almost bigger for Barry Odom now at this point. I just can't remember a game changing over the course of a year more than this one. What do you make of Tennessee at Missouri and what the outcome could deliver for either of the coaches?
Yeah, that's a good point. Of course, I was thinking about it in terms of Tennessee, and it's just incredible to think of end of September versus now, how that team looks, what we think about that team, what that team's chances are. But you're right. I mean, Missouri – I mean, look, I watched Missouri lose to Vanderbilt, so, you know, I thought, gosh, maybe that's just a really weird aberration, but, you know, that offense is just dreadful right now. And you're right, this is a huge game for Barry Odom. Both teams 5-5. It has been – it goes back to show, again, you know, college football teams can change so much within one season in both ways. And I agree. I was surprised at the line on this one, Braden, and I know it's moved some, but I thought it'd be more like maybe – you know, 1 or 2 point line, you know, favored, Missouri being favored. But I don't know. I expect Tennessee to go win this game. I think it'll be another grinder like the Kentucky game was. But I really like how that Tennessee defense is playing. And I think Jared Garantano has turned a corner here.
I agree. Quickly on the Titans, Joe, the news from Matt Miller, Bleacher Report, that Philip Rivers would love, quote unquote, love to be in Nashville if that's an opportunity. What I've learned is he is, his first choice is the Chargers and his second choice is the Titans, and that's basically it for him. What do you make of John Robinson's process in the offseason if Philip Rivers is now an option?
Ah, man, just watching him throw the ball the other day. I mean, it really is Uncle Rico levels at times right now, you know, with Phil. And I mean, you know, all due respect to his career, it's fantastic, but I don't know. I don't know that I'd be that interested in that. Am I wrong? And am I missing up there? I know he's had a terrific career. He also, like, man, it's just another one of those.
Is he better than Ryan Tannehill next year? Yes. The answer is yes, Joe.
For sure, yes, for sure.
He's a Hall of Famer.
Well, I know he's a Hall of Famer, but like George Blanda was too at one point. You know, I mean, people, you know, lose their skills. Tom Brady at some point is not going to be good as a quarterback when he's like 53, maybe, right? Like, I feel like he's really regressed. I think he's really losing the zip on his fastball, figuratively and literally. And I think I might go with Tannehill. I hate to sound like Stillman right now, but I might go with Tannehill.
Did it look like he regressed in Nissan Stadium when he was making a comeback against Titans secondary?
No, but even that was
okay.
Man, he was throwing some lollipops up there. But yeah, I mean, you know, he hit a couple.
I'm with you, Joe. The arm has regressed, a la Drew Brees. The arm has regressed as well. I still think
right.
If you're going to draft a rookie or not have, I don't think you're going to get Burrow or Tua. So I don't think you should draft any of the other guys. I mean, if Andy Dalton is what we're talking about here as another option, I'm sorry, I'm taking Rivers over all these other options.
Okay, I will take Rivers over Dalton. I'll give you that one. I'm probably too, you know, like, well, I'm waiting for the other shoe to fall on Tannehill here, and I'm, you know, I probably will at some point. But I will say that the way he's playing right now in this little sample size, is pretty promising.
Yeah, it is. But, I mean, obviously, whoever the Tennessee Titans choose to make their quarterback next year, if it's not a rookie, it's only going to be short term. So whether it's whether it's Rivers, whether it's Tannehill, whether it's Dalton, it's short term. So if that is indeed the case, which I don't think would ever happen. Not only do you have Rivers, you have Brady, you have Breeze, you have some of these other guys that are basically going to be free agents. So if that is indeed the case, then if you know this is only going to be a 2-year deal, which guy would you, if they all were out there, which guy are you taking?
Okay, well, then Brady. I mean,
I agree with
let's
that.
Go with Brady. You know, I mean, I agree. It's short term. And if you can get someone like that, I mean, that's terrific. But like, I think there's still a huge difference, you know, between Brady and what I'm seeing from Rivers right now. But, to me, it's like you got to have your mind completely open at this point anyway, right?
Yeah, I think that's fair. What do the Preds need to do differently to not be bad at hockey?
Well, I did think the last game was better. Obviously, I mean, there's been so much focus on you know, mistakes and defensive problems, and even, you know, the goaltending hasn't been as good lately. It was better. But, man, you just got to win a game. You know, you get into one of those ruts, and you just feel like something's going to go wrong. They need to get a win tonight and, you know, get things going. And then I still don't totally understand the Kyle Turris healthy scratch, and I hope there's some clarity on that. And to me, I know he hasn't been producing lately, but I'd be playing that guy. So there's some interesting stuff going on in Peter Laviolette's head right now, and it's going to be interesting to see if things kind of go back to normal. But all of them, they need a win.
2 points tonight for sure. Joe Rexford from The Athletic, we appreciate you, man. Thanks a lot.
All right, guys. Thank you. See you.
Love talking to Rexy there. Yeah, Preds back on the ice tonight. We'll talk with Hal Gill. Puck drop at 7, pregame at 6. We'll talk with Hal Gill coming up in about 15 minutes. But the reason we got into the Rivers discussion there is that is probably one of the bigger pieces of news this week is, according to Bleacher Report's Matt Miller, yesterday, Philip Rivers would, quote, love to play for the Tennessee Titans. These rumors are not going away.
No.
So I want to get into another discussion a little bit further there than we had with Joe Rexford when we come back, because if Brady's available, again, I don't think that's realistic. I'm not sure how realistic Philip Rivers is. What are the realistic possibilities, and what should be John Robinson's plan moving forward? We'll do that on Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. But this is considered country.
Yeah.
So Old Town Road is not, but this is considered country.
Yeah.
All, I guess so. Tyler's not either?
Sturgill Simpson, not considered country, not nominated by the CMAs, but that is.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Well, we'll keep Old Town Road and Tyler and Sturgill out, but Taylor Swift, you need to calm down. That is a CMA classic right there, buddy.
It doesn't sound like country to me. It's a good song. It doesn't sound like country to me.
That doesn't sound like country, not one.
I don't think
Old Town Road sounds more country.
I don't feel like T-Swizzle's been country for a long time.
Hey, quickly, because we were talking.
Get us back on track. Stay on the rails, Derek.
We were talking about potential free agent quarterbacks that the Titans could have create a bridge deal for until they get up to speed, their rookie quarterback, their final quarterback, whatever the case may be. But the Drew Brees one is interesting because you're going to have Philip Rivers that's going to be a free agent. You're going to have Brady that's going to be a free agent. And I started to look more at Brees because on March of 2019, Brees converted $16.2 million to a signing bonus. The move created $10.8 million in cap space for the Saints in 2019 and deferred $10.8 million to 2020 and 21. Here's a caveat, both which will void at the end of the 2019 league year. So if I'm reading it correctly, he will become a free agent as well after this season. So now you have three potential.
I hear all
Hall of
that.
Famers that will be free agents.
You
more
think
than likely they all will sign
right.
back in
their
places.
You think Brady and Brees are going to leave New Orleans and New England?
I don't think it would happen. I think that
it feels like that would be
I think
a huge
the Saints
upset.
More than anyone would want Drew Brees to retire.
A Saint.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, nobody like, you know, embodies the New Orleans Saints fan base and culture more than Drew Brees.
Exactly.
Like, he has endeared himself for eternity as mm-hmm. as like the greatest Saint of all time, along with like Steve Gleason probably. I just don't see. I know there's this every year we seem like we have these conversations about the rift between Belichick and Brady, and I just don't think it's. I think way too much is made of that. I think they realize that their best chances to win are with each other. Mm-hmm. Now there could be an element of Belichick wanting to coach for 4 or 5 years past Brady and prove to everybody that I'm the reason that we have won all these Super Bowls, right? Mm-hmm. Like Tom is great, but I'm Bill Belichick. I'm the GOAT. I'm going to prove to everybody because of ego. I'm going to go try to win a Super Bowl with Jarrett Stidham or whatever. I mean, hell, he's traded Jacoby Brissett and Jimmy Garoppolo away to two other teams who are, oh, by the way, first place in their divisions right now. And we all knew that Bill Belichick wanted to keep Garoppolo. That was a Bob Kraft decision there and a Tom Brady decision. So I just don't see either of those two guys leaving. I could see Phillip Rivers leaving. And Rex Rhodes not wrong. Rivers has – his arm has deteriorated, but so has Drew Brees's. And frankly, if you watched Tom Brady –
his has too.
His has too. He just understands timing. Mm-hmm. They all understand timing so well. And some of that was Marcus's problem. He couldn't get the timing down. And I think some of that was the injuries and the offensive line and the receiving core and the coordinator. And we can go on and on down the list. Tannehill has appeared to fix some of that. I don't know how long it lasts or what it looks like. If Andy Dalton is in this conversation, I sure as hell don't want to go that direction.
No.
But I look at this draft class and I'm just, you tell me I could have Phillip Rivers for a year or two while we try to find the guy in the future. Justin Herbert doesn't do it for me. Jake Fromm doesn't do it for me. And I really like those guys as college quarterbacks. I mean, Jalen Hurts is a third-round pick, maybe. I mean, people are projecting him in the third round right now. You're not going to – the odds of you finding Dak Prescott or Russell Wilson or Drew Brees in the second and third round is just – it just feels very slim.
Mm-hmm.
So I would take a chance on Rivers. Now here's the good news if you're John Robinson. There's no rush for any of this. Let's see what Ryan Tannehill looks like over the final six games. Mm-hmm. He may earn himself a $20 million one-year contract or a franchise tag or something like that. And if he does, great. That means the Titans are winning games and you feel like you've got your guy for at least the short term. And then you still have to figure out what the long-term plan is. But it feels like there are decent options out there. You don't want to be the guy, you know, when the music stops to be without a chair.
Yeah.
And in this case, without a quarterback. So it's not like you want to wait too long, but you're not really in any rush. You can let this thing play out with Ryan Tannehill and see what he looks like first and then see what his, what I want to know is what is Tannehill's asking price right now today.
Yeah.
And I want to know what his number is. If his number is 25 or if his number is like 18, like what would he be willing to bet on himself for a one-year deal so that he can get out of it and sign another contract? But maybe take less. I don't know. I don't know what he's thinking right now.
No, I don't think many people know. But, you know, John understands that they need a quarterback on the roster next season. But they're not going to rush to sign Ryan Tannehill if indeed that's the road they're traveling down. You know, because if he wants more than a 2 or 3 year deal, then I think the Titans have to seriously think about, you know, maybe we allow him to walk unless you're committed to saying, you know, we're going to sign him to a 4 or 5 year deal and he's our guy.
And well, we're not like, 32,
going to,
though?
Yeah, like, and we're not going to. I mean, if he's 32 and if you believe
31 turning 32,
if you believe that he is your guy, then I don't see anything wrong with if you believe that he's the guy and you don't think there's a quarterback in this draft and you don't want to be in a position to draft Trevor Lawrence next year, even though that would be great, but you don't want to be in that position. So you say we believe enough in him because our offensive philosophy will be to run the football with Derrick Henry. We're going to sign Derrick Henry back and we're going to sign Ryan Tannehill to a 5-year deal. The last year of that deal is optional. If you believe he's the guy, he's young enough. If you believe he's the guy, then do it. But you got to believe, along with everyone else, that he is the guy that that is going to be your quarterback, because you don't think you're going to get a guy in this draft now that Tua's still up in the air. You don't think you can get a guy in this draft. And then you don't want to be in a position to have to get, you know, you don't want to be in a position where you're drafting Trevor Lawrence. That's great, but you don't want to be the worst team in the NFL.
But here's the thing, though. I don't mind, and I do, and Matt Miller, again, Bleacher Report is the one who broke this story, but we talked to him earlier, and he said this as well. He said, if you're picking 17, 18, 19, or 20, it's hard to find yourself a great quarterback, right? Like, we all get that, because most of the great ones go in the top 10 or 12, but it doesn't mean you can't trade up to 10 or 12 to get the second guy on the list. Like, again, Deshaun Watson, 10th overall, Patrick Mahomes, 12th overall, I believe both teams traded up to get those guys. With those
Aaron Rodgers, 20-something overall.
And if you go down that list, you can keep going. Russell Wilson was a third-round pick. Drew Brees was a second-round pick. Tom Brady, sixth-round pick. Dak Prescott, fourth-round pick. We can keep going. Jimmy Garoppolo was, what, a third-round pick. So we can keep going with that game if you want to play that game. Tannehill turns 32 next summer. So if you signed him to a five-year deal, you'd be getting him for years 32 through 36.
Yeah.
I've already seen enough. Like, I don't care how well he plays down the stretch. I don't think a five-year, $130 million contract or whatever it would be. Because if you think he's the guy, he's going to ask for the guy money. And if that's the case, you're talking 5 years, $120 million, $125 million.
Well, my thing is anybody...
There's no chance he's worth that.
Anybody that... Because the going rate for a quarterback now, if you are a starter, the going rate is... If you're good, the going rate is $20 million. It's in the 20s. That's the going rate.
Did Jacoby Brissett completely undersell himself?
He signed a
2-year, $30 million contract, 15 per.
But I think what happens is if he plays, he can I'm pretty sure he could probably redo that contract next year at the end of the season.
Is he the guy that they want to have now for 10 years?
I think he's proven that he is the guy.
We'll find out more tonight.
I think he's done everything they've asked him to do.
No question.
So I think he has proven he is the guy.
Then why did he feel? I felt like he sold himself short.
But he wasn't in a position to negotiate.
Yeah,
like that.
And maybe you're right. I just think that kind of contract is what I would want for Ryan Tannehill.
Ryan's not going to give you that contract.
But he ain't going to do that.
Yeah,
he's but not but give you know that. Who's better? Jacoby Brissett. So like I don't understand. Like
yeah,
it's one of these two contracts is boggling my mind. I don't know which one it is. But if Tannehill gets 25 and Brissett's getting 15, basically Chris Ballard needs to go to the Hall of Fame right now.
Well, Jacoby's going to go back to the table. Just remember that.
Of course he will. But you would have gotten three starting seasons out of him for basically nothing. And I realize $15 million is basically nothing seems odd, but that's...
Quarterback going rate.
Yeah, it's insane. So, I don't know. I think it's going to be fascinating. There are no easy decisions here for John Robinson. The good news is he does not need to rush. I look at this entire picture, and the best option for me right now is still 38-year-old Phillip Rivers. I still think that's the most likely and best option for this Titans quarterback equation. I got another equation for you, one that you're really going to like. It all adds up to big savings. Let's do the math. Now you can get Xfinity Internet and Xfinity Mobile each for $30 a month. That equals awesome Wi-Fi from America's best internet provider and the best LTE on the go. It's the ultimate coverage solution. It's all in the numbers there. You can save up to $400 a year on your wireless bill. That sounds cool. With Xfinity Mobile. And until December 8th, you can get $250 back when you purchase an eligible smartphone. That's also cool. It's basically the perfect equation. Xfinity makes saving simple, easy, and awesome. Don't miss out on Xfinity Internet and Mobile, each for $30 a month. You'll get internet now with up to 100 megabits per second download speed for 12 months with a one-year agreement, and Xfinity Mobile with 3 gigs of shared wireless data, I should say. Easy for me to say. Go to Xfinity.com/savebig. That's Xfinity.com/savebig. Call 1-800-XFINITY or visit a store today. Requires EcoBill and AutoPay. Internet offer ends 12/8/19, so act now. New performance internet customers only. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra and subject to change. After agreement term, regular rates apply. Wireless savings compares to average of top providers. Actual speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Hal Gill, when we return. Oh, I love that you played this, Marquise, for Hal Gill. Hal Gill joining us here, of course, brought to you by Puckett's. Go ahead and let it play. Hal's... Hal, what do you think about that, bud?
What are you guys playing?
So that is Tyler Childers, who is one of my favorite new artists on Sturgill Simpson's label. Go play some Tyler Childers when you get home. Do you like a little country twang, Hal? Are you?
I do. I like the sound. I just picked up on it, and I didn't get the gist of what was going on.
So it's the Grammys.
I'm a little slow.
The Grammys have, I guess, the nominees have come out, and so Marquise is playing only Grammy-nominated songs and artists today on the show. That's the theme.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. Check it out.
What do you make of you and I got a chance to hang out with Mikael Granlund and UC Saros last night. I know it's a tough time for players going through a stretch of hockey where you're not playing your best, but what did you make of sort of their demeanor and their attitude and sort of how they're taking and approaching this current struggle in terms of how the human element here, how they're handling it?
Yeah, I thought they were pretty good. First of all, it was awesome that they were as in high spirits as they were, because I know the last thing you wanted to be doing is thrust into the media and talking and having a good time. You just kind of want to hide away, focus on what you're supposed to be doing, and get a win. But I think, especially Granlund, he was pretty honest. They talking to him off to the side, he said, "Hey, we had the day off today. We talked about some things. We know what we have to do. We just have to go out and execute it. It's not." There's not too much of a panic button. I think there's a concern that he has, but they're very businesslike with, we got to go and do this. They're not going to sit back and look in the past and worry about everything. They got to go and do their job, and I think he's pretty aware of that.
Now, Lavi decided to shake up the lineup a little bit versus Winnipeg. Obviously, it didn't equate to a win, but I think they played better on defense. Santini and Olivier bringing those two guys up. How do you evaluate their performance last game?
I thought Olivier was great. He got heavy on the forecheck. You know what I really liked about him is the back pressure, back checking and coming back hard. I think that's something that's a little bit of bite that's missing out of the Preds right now is coming back hard through the middle, protecting the slot and getting back quicker. Olivier did that really well. Santini, he's on for a goal against, and it was a tough one where he had to try and close his gap pretty quick. And then I've been there before. That penalty he took, it's a lonely feeling sitting in the box after you sail one out of the rink. But I thought he looked good. He had some physical points. He did a good job protecting the front of the net for the most part. But those are key play. Those are just two cogs that they're trying to fit in there to change the team, to get the mindset. So I think both of those guys really, they brought a good mindset to the team more than just their games is what they were doing and what the thought was of them being in the lineup.
Hal Gill joining us here. And Hal, I realize when a team is struggling, everybody has some agency and bears responsibility from the video coordinator to the coach, to the GM, to every player on the roster. Everybody sort of bears responsibility for it. But, Victor Arvidsson has scored one goal in 11 games, but we know what he brings to the table. Ryan Johansson has only got 14 points and two goals. You've played with some big-time elite-level superstars in your career. Is it the responsibility or was it in the past for sort of the stars to pick up the team and carry the way and be the true superstars that they are, the highest paid players on the team? Does it sort of fall to them to get a team out of a slump?
It is a team game, but when someone makes 20% of what the team is paid, then yeah, it does slide on them. You're looking at the big guns to step up and make plays, and everyone's got to pull on the rope and pull the same way. And when I look at the Preds, there's guys that are having a good year. Benino is having a good year. Yossi and Ellis, I think they're having good years. But I think if you ask them, they want to be a lot better. So I think if you went through the whole locker room, everyone would tell you they have more to give and want to give more. But it does. It's all about the stars getting the job done. And if you ask them, I think they'd all be pretty honest and say, to a man, everyone's got to be better, especially those guys.
Now, Hal, looking at the Western Conference, in particular the Central right now, The Predators trail the Blues by 10 points. Is there that much difference between the two teams? Because I know, you know, when you look at it and the point differential is what it is, but it just seems like, you know, if you kind of put it all out on the table, there's not much separating the Blues and the Predators or even the teams in the middle.
Yeah, there's this league can change so quickly, and we've seen that. This example has been beaten to death, but the St. Louis Blues went from worst to first, and it doesn't take long. It's kind of scary how quick it can turn around, especially in the Central Division. There's so many games against each other that, you know, they just beat each other up, and they're going to be battling. It used to, you know, last year it was Winnipeg and Nashville, back and forth, 1 and 2. And then all of a sudden St. Louis comes out of nowhere. Dallas started to go, you know, there's so much going on. You really have to ride the wave, and it's easy to be feel down and out, but the Preds are right in the thick of this, and they have to realize that every point counts, every game counts, but even if you're way out of it, you're still right in it, which is kind of crazy. But you have to be aware that if they want to go, you know, maybe getting this losing streak out of the way early is a good thing. You learn a lot about yourself. You learn a lot about attention to detail, and maybe that carries through the rest of the season.
And it only takes 1 week. You could win 3 or 4 games and go from sixth place to second place in this division in a blink of an eye, and it only takes a couple of games. And listen, it could happen starting tonight. They play Vancouver, a huge game, pregame at 6, puck drop at 7. You can listen to the sweet, sultry sounds of Hal Gill this evening on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And Mikhail Granlund said that last night about how quickly it can turn around. You just used the phrase attention to detail, though, which I think is an important one when we're talking about a team that's struggling defensively. You know, effort and work ethic and attention to detail is sort of how you fix some of those things to some degree. How do you balance, as a player, knowing that you sort of need some extra juice because you're struggling, so you're playing Vancouver tonight, so you know you need to be, like, pissed off for greatness, but you also have to, you know, you have to manage the attention to detail as well. How do you manage those two emotions as a player going into a game?
Yeah, it's, you know, when you're losing, it's, and I was talking to Granlund a little bit about it. When you're losing, it's hard. You know, people don't realize that. When you're winning, you know, you just keep rolling. It's fun. You go to the rink. Everything is light, and your life is relatively easy. When you're losing games, it's exhausting because you go to the rink, and you're super sensitive and hyper-focused to all those details. And, you know, if you're – you got to be the third man high in the offensive zone, and you got to be the guy that backs up the winger and comes underneath, supports underneath, all these little things that you're focused on. You're super aware, and it's exhausting. And so it's not an easy thing to go through a losing streak because it takes a lot out of you, which, you know, it sounds kind of counterproductive. You know, you'd like to go out there and just be loose and flying and play on instincts, but you really have to focus and tighten the screws. And I think that's what the Preds are going through right now, is that balance between I have to do my job. I have to be in the right spot. I have to make the right play, but I also have to be creative. I have to be loose and flying and get down the wing and make that move that's going to be a highlight reel move to get the big goal and put the team over the top. I have to be that guy. And that's a tough thing to go through. So I think that balance is where you find the good teams are at, is I'm super focused on what I'm doing, but I'm going out having fun doing it. And that's a tough way to go about living and a tough way to play.
Hal, always a pleasure, my friend. Brought to you by Puckett's, of course. Hal Gill on the call tonight. Thank you so much for joining us, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, guys. Have a good morning.
Absolutely. Hal Gill there on the call tonight. Pre-game 6, puck drop at 7. Vancouver in the Stone tonight.
The Stone.
Huge, huge game for their mental state of mind for the Predators. So.
But you said something interesting. And
I did.
And Hal agreed.
Occasionally.
And pretty much, you know, echoed you can go in a matter of, you know, 4 or 5 games. You can go from the last place team, you know, to second place or even possibly first place. It all depends on what the Blues are doing, because they have that type of team where, you know, offensively they can score with anybody. If they can just pick up points consistently for the next 3, 4 games, 5 games, they can find themselves back in it, second, third place. And then the overreacting that we're doing can cease, at least for the time being.
No. It's not a Friday.
Yeah.
We get to overreact Monday. On Mondays and Thursdays, Tuesdays and Wednesdays.
Why did he skip it like that, Monday, Thursday,
who knows?
Tuesday, Wednesday?
Well, he was talking about something, probably practice or something. I don't know.
Practice.
Hey, Tennessee at Missouri. Big one coming up this weekend. All right, Big Finish when we return.
Go! Now it's time for a Big Finish on Morning Drive.
That's right. It's Big Finish time here on Morning Drive. Derek Mason, Brandon Gall, and it's brought to you by.
Absolutely. It's brought to you by Nashville Soccer Club. Get your MLS tickets for the inaugural season today. Go to NashvilleSC.com.
Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Brayden Gall here, of course, on a Thursday morning.
Give me that money back until I can get Wiseman down here, and then we can kind of hold that check for a minute. Hold
Wait,
that check.
Don't,
Do not
can you not
cash,
cash
the
that?
Check. Yeah, hold that check. The money don't get in the bank until another month or two.
He's,
so hold
he's,
that check.
He's got to go to my check-ins and my savings, you know. So
he's got a like a GPS tracker on
on James,
on James's
like,
truck. The family truck just pulled in.
So don't cash that check for another couple of days.
See, it says delivered on the 20th. It's the 21st. So I'm just calling to see, you know, what's the status looking like right now.
See, here's the thing. My savings and my check-ins are kind of off balance right now. So if you could just hold it for a minute so I can transfer some of the money from my savings to my check-ins, and then you can have it.
And you know it takes three business days.
And if I'm that person at Penny Hardaway's telling me that, I'm like, yeah, whatever, dude. Like, you got 120 mil in the bank. Not counting your little penny Nike money, man. We are going behind enemy lines. We got Mike DiRocco.
Ooh, that was the name of the movie, right? With Behind Enemy Lines with, who was in that movie?
That's not the sniper movie
War II. It's a war movie. It's sort of like an espionage type of spy movie.
Was there a World War II movie where it was just a sniper who was like in, I want to say like in the Soviet front of World War II, and he was like sitting up.
20 movies.
But he was a guy who just had to sit. There was like sniper v. sniper. It was like a sniper on sniper.
Oh, I know what you're
talking about.
The whole movie was based on them too.
These two guys. And it's a true story. One guy like sat up in a tower, and he was the Russian guy, I think, and was like just like the best sharpshooter in World War II on the Russian side, and there was like the best sharpshooter in the American side.
Yeah, I know exactly.
Maybe it was the Germans. I don't remember.
The Germans.
What's that in your trousers, Tommy? Right now on the program by Mike DiRocco of ESPN.
Yeah, I think recently it's more of a matchup issue for this team because, you know, the way the Jags sort of tried to build themselves was a physical run, you know, downhill run team with Leonard Fournette. But the Titans are one of the few teams that can line up and smack you back in the mouth, you know, especially that big offensive line. But, man, the Titans just punch them right back in the mouth, and they're really pretty much the only team that does that. And that really sort of has set the tone, you know, even games in Jacksonville. But, you know, up there, it's just been awful.
Coffee with the coach, assistant Predators coach Dan Muse, joining us here on the program.
Sometimes, you know, the focus becomes so much in one area that, you know, maybe you're not addressing or thinking about other areas of the game as much. You know, in terms of when we look at a game like that, we'll look at, you know, you see the score at the end of the night, and obviously we didn't score as much as we needed to. But then from there, you look at what kind of chances were we creating, how many chances were we creating, how many shots were on net. We had good chances, you know, but that being said, again, it's one goal, and we need to score more. And so from there, you can look at some of the details behind the chances to make sure that, you know, as we're moving forward, you know, we're going to be a little bit better here tonight than we were the other night in some of the offensive details, as well as continuing to fine-tune the defensive part of the game, which I feel like, and I think most people that watch the game would say, is much better than it had been, especially the game before.
Y'all need to listen to Lunch Lady Land. That's all I'm saying.
Who? Lunch Lady Land?
Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
Who is that?
That's Adam Sandler, man. That's Lunch Lady.
Oh, okay.
Y'all don't even know about Adam Sandler.
I mean, I know about Adam Sandler. I
can't believe y'all.
But I don't know about Lunch Lady Land.
Uncultured
did
heathens.
Did he do anything from Billy Madison at all?
Uncultured heathen. Chris Farley, Adam Sandler?
Nah.
Matt Miller joining us here from Bleacher Report.
I think if 12 weeks ago you told me, hey, Rivers is going to leave as a free agent after this year, I probably would have been skeptical because it's like we've heard that before. I think this year has been a little unique in that the Chargers are not playing well. They're also playing to like 20,000 of the opposing team's fans every time they're at home. You know, there's been the controversy about where this team's going to play, what's the future of this franchise. And I think you also have that we've always heard like that Rivers wants to get back closer to his roots, which is Decatur, Alabama, which is like an hour and a half south of Nashville. And one thing I've always heard about Rivers is he's not interested in being an Eli Manning to someone's Daniel Jones or an Alex Smith to someone's Patrick Mahomes. When the time comes for the Chargers to draft a quarterback in the future, he would just like to either retire or go play somewhere else.
Joe Rexroad from The Athletic.
Man, just watched him throw the ball the other day. I mean, it really is Uncle Rico levels at times right now, you know, with Phil. And I mean, you know, all due respect to his career, it's fantastic. I don't know. I don't know that I'd be that interested in that. Am I wrong? Am I missing up there? I know he's had a terrific career. He also, like, man, it's just another one of those.
Is he better than Ryan? Is he better than Ryan Tannehill next year? Yes. The answer is yes, Joe.
For sure.
He's a Hall of Famer. He's a Hall of Famer.
Well, I know he's a Hall of Famer, but all Hall, like you know, like George Blanda was too at one point. You know, I mean, like, what? Like. People, you know, lose their skills. Tom Brady at some point is not going to be good as a quarterback when he's like 53, maybe, right? Like, I feel like he's really regressed. I think he's really losing the zip on his fastball.
If you miss any of the show, we have moved our on-demand audio to Apple and Spotify. Search
Spotify.
Morning Drive. Okay.
Apple.
It works better with a beat.
Yeah.
Keep going. Hang on.
I was just
here. No,
when you're,
no,
when you're
no,
reading
do the rest
it,
of it. Do the
no,
rest
when you're
of it.
Reading, I gotta say Apple and Spotify.
Oh,
like
you're
in
my
the
hype man.
Yeah, I'm a hype man.
Yeah, you gotta keep rapping, bro. You can't stop rapping.
My bad.
It's like that Key and Peele speaking.
You can't just stop saying, "Oh, here."
Search Morning Drive.
Morning Drive
in Apple or Spotify.
Spotify.
Or log on to thegamenashville.com.
Game Nashville
to find our daily audio.
Audio.
It's daily. It's daily. It's daily. It's daily. Every day. Monday. Tuesday. Wednesday. Thursday. Friday. Like Jeremy Pruitt. Not overreacting.
No days off.
What is our producer doing back there?
Overreacting. Overreacting. Never. Spotify. Apple. Check us out, people.
Rate, review, and subscribe today, please. That was good right there. I have no idea what it was, but it was good.
It's great, man.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's great, man.
Just remember, don't stop rapping, man.
Yeah, you
I don't know these things.
That
kills what if it sounds terrible?
That kills the cipher. That kills the battle.
You gotta,
it
you
just ruins
the cipher.
You got to go along with
what does that mean?
What you doing?
The cipher.
Just like the when you're rapping.
Because I do that frequently.
And, yeah, when you're rapping.
I'm a frequent rapper.
And you're doing your thing.
I mean, you did walk in here with a hoodie on, looking like Eminem on 8 Mile.
I got some sweat.
B-Rabbit.
Yeah, I got some vomit on my sweater, too. I got
from Mom's Spaghetti?
Look, I got
some baby vomit.
I got some sweatpants on. Yeah, it's more like baby puke. I got my sweatpants on and my, what are these? These are fancy. What are these?
I don't know.
Those are nice.
These Reacts or whatever, the Epic Reacts or whatever.
They're pretty cool. I like
See?
The shoes.
Thank you, Derek.
See? I went in
street cred.
The what you call it?
I don't know what cipher means.
The what you call it? I have on the jogging suit. I have on. It is so comfortable. It feels so.
Yeah, you
good
look like you're
on my skin. It just feels so good. Seriously,
looks like three. It looks like you killed baby rabbits to put
it's
that just, together. That's how soft
you know
it
what?
Looks.
It's Uggs. I didn't know Uggs made. Like sweatpants and hoodie. I didn't know Uggs made
can,
it.
Can we get?
I thought it, they just
I'm
made
like,
shoes.
I felt it. I'm like, I gotta have it. I gotta have it.
Of course. Can we go back to telling me what a cipher is?
So a cipher is, you know, a rap battle. It's not really a battle. Sometimes you can get into a group. It's a big circle of people that, you know, everybody's
so like
just rapping.
Everybody's
so like
got
when,
their own little,
so when
rabbit, you finish, and then you. Yeah.
So when
Rabbit's
at the food truck outside the factory
that's a
at
cipher.
8 Mile, and
that's
he's just like ripping on all these guys and defending his boy.
Yeah, that's a cipher.
Okay, that's a cipher.
You want to do a cipher?
No. Nope, I don't.
Oh, you don't? You sure?
No, I do not.
You want to do like a that's pretty much what sports.
You
want to
argue about expansion of the college
that's
football
what
playoff?
Is.
Let's argue about expansion of the college
that's
football
what
playoff.
Is.
I can do that.
Sports is that's all it is.
But I just can't do it with
you
any
and I
rhythm.
Going back and forth.
Cipher.
Okay.
Without the beat, a cappella. You don't need
Vols,
no beat.
Vols, Vandy,
Jeremy, Stackhouse, Hates, Austin, Mees.
The Preds need 2 points tonight.
Titans.
For the love of God, please get 2 points tonight.
Tonight, yes, big game. Well,
Texans and Colts, too, man.
Texans and Colts, it has implications in regards to what the Titans can potentially do if they win this Sunday, mm-hmm. move up in the mm-hmm. standings. We have the Preds tonight. Mm-hmm. They need how many points?
2 points.
2 points. They need 2 points because we know in the world of hockey, you can go from the outhouse to the penthouse
just
in
like
a
that.
Matter of weeks.
In a matter of weeks. For yeah. Marquise and Derek, my name's Braden Gall. Thanks for listening to Morning Drive, everybody.
Bailey, DJ Nashville, stay warm and I love you.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boost and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.